Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
The people treated him like garbage. They killed him. Why did he do that? Because that's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves you. That he gave up the glory of heaven for you. And he even come down and say, crown me king. Came down and said, I'd be willing to die on the cross for you, in your place for your sins.
Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, born in a stable and died a criminal's death. We often view Jesus' life as a heroic rescue from death. And don't get me wrong, it was heroic. But he wasn't exactly the Davidic champion the Israelites had in mind. In today's message, Pastor Jim teaches that Jesus didn't come slaying giants, but to be slain himself. He didn't come expecting to be served by his kingdom, but rather to serve anyone who'd let him. He came to sacrifice himself for you. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 8 as he continues his message, "The Light Came to the Dark World."
Let me just ask you a question. How many of you, okay, have ever tried to speak to self-righteous religious people? Not easy, is it? You're trying to talk to these people. They're self-righteous. It's virtually impossible, isn't it? It's virtually impossible. This is my experience with a lot of self-righteous religious people. They have their own ideas about God, and they actually believe that God will agree with them. They're like, well, this is what I think, and I'm sure God would agree with me. And I'm like, he doesn't. You're nice people. You're like, oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not. I'm old and crusty. I'm like, no. That's not true. He doesn't believe with you. Where did you get that from? That's just, what are you talking about? Because in the Bible, self-righteous religious people are pictures of unbelief. How important we know that. My dear friends, it's so important that you understand this, because this is what happens to a lot of us. We share faith with people, we get nowhere with them because of their self-righteousness, and we think, oh, God doesn't want to use me to communicate with other people, so I'm not going to do it anymore. Okay, not true. The thing is that unbelief will never run out of objections. Never will, because it is stubborn. Unless God stomps on them. And that has happened to some of us. And if you are a self-righteous religious person and you know you're going through John with us here and you know you're losing the battle, you know it's not happening, please, let's meet before he really stomps on you, because it will hurt for a very long time, right? A really long time. I think I'm coming up on 38 years being a follower of Jesus. People say to me, does it still hurt? I'm going, it's still killing me. It hurts for a long time, and I'm going to save you a lot of pain. Verse 14, Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. Why? For I know where I come from and where I am going. What does he say? I know who I am, right? But you, here we go. You do not know where I come from and where I am going. Jesus offers a very, very simple answer to the religious leaders. Your unbelief has blinded you. Okay? Everybody take your hands, put your hand over your eyes. See this? That's what it's like. Jesus could be standing right in front of you, but your unbelief has you in such a place where you cannot see anymore. That's what he's saying to them. He says, I know where I'm from, and I know where I'm going. I come from God the Father. I'm going back to God the Father because I am the Son of God. And implied in that statement is, but you guys know nothing. You're absolutely clueless. Now, these are guys that studied God their whole life. And he's just firing away at them. Now, the term going is used twice here in verse 14, used often in the Gospel of John. That refers to Jesus dying on the cross, rising from the dead, and his ascension into heaven to be seated at the right hand of God. The term going also, right, reminds us that Jesus has a mission and he knows what he's doing. And what Jesus is doing is he's appealing to his mission that is from God the Father. What is he saying? I'm the sent one. I'm the sent one. And he's saying, I was sent to God's people. I was sent to Jerusalem. I was sent to you. I was sent to the world. I was sent to all of you people over here. I was sent to all of you people over here. It was sent to me. He was sent to all of us. Verse 15, Jesus still speaking. You judge according to the flesh. Now, it's just a non-spiritual kind of a way of thinking. So many versions make it simple. You judge according to human standards, okay? And then Jesus says, but I judge no one. So Jesus is talking about here, I don't judge the way you judge. We'll see more of that in a second. Verse 16, and yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone. Some of you have said, who judge, but I am with the Father who sent me. Now, Jesus is tying together, without the mention of the Holy Spirit here, in terms of, he says, well, I am not alone. He's tying us into what we call a Trinitarian philosophy of Jesus' ministry, the ministry of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit because they love the world. Okay, so again, let's summarize a little bit about what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, I came to save imperfect people from the flesh and the darkness. Why? So people who repent and believe, people who turn to God and put their trust in Jesus and follow Jesus, and we've said this before, but please never miss this. So people who put their trust in Jesus and follow Jesus can stand in front of a holy, righteous God. Remember what we say this often, that when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, Jesus takes your sin and he puts it on Jesus. But just as important, and maybe more so, he takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ and puts it on you. So you can stand in front of a holy God. Now, a lot of people say, you know, when I get up to the man upstairs, I got a few things to tell him. Okay? You will be on your face. Okay? And not even able to get a word out of your mouth. Okay? And that's the way it's going to be. I don't know why people would want to even talk like that. Jesus is saying that we, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we judge with divine authority, with perfect knowledge and holiness. Loved ones, please do not miss that. That is the only way God judges. He doesn't judge the way we judge. We see stuff, people do stuff, and we make opinions of them. That's not what God does. God's divine authority, perfect knowledge, and holiness. Once again, if you're not a follower of Jesus, we are glad that you're here. A lot of people came into this church, swore they were Christians, sat here for a few weeks, and they was like, I don't think I'm a Christian. That's okay. That's okay. Others of you, I just confuse whether you're a Christian or not. You're just like, I don't know what I am. But others, you know, we all need to understand this. And this is going to sound like an insulting statement to some of us. But we need to understand that God is perfect and we are not. Now, some of you are like, duh. But you know, a lot of people don't think like that. A lot of people don't think like that. I've talked with people and they're like, you know, I believe in God, but you know, this is, you know, I'm going to tell him this and tell him that and tell him this and tell him that. And I'm like, he made this, you believe he made all this? And they go, yeah. I go, you don't even know how to change the battery in your car. Like, what, are you kidding me? You're kidding me? Do verse 15 and 16 contradict each other? No. Jesus is saying that judging according to the flesh or human standards is not judgment. He's saying to the religious leaders, you lack the ability for righteous judgment. And what he's really kind of saying to them, you lack the ability for righteous judgment and you have the nerve to judge me? I mean, who do you think you are? And most of us in our life, if we're honest, we have judged God, haven't we? Yeah. Now, there may be things we're not happy about, and we need to talk to those about God, but God knows what he is doing. And I can guarantee you, a million years from today, you're not going to care about all the problems you got today. In fact, if you're honest, most of the problems we have today, we don't care about by the end of the week, right? Because we're already on to the next problem, right? There's all that. Now, here's the thing about Jesus. He wasn't in the club. A church can be a club, can it? We don't want to be a club. This is not Club Calvary, okay? We don't want to be that. Jesus didn't dress like them, okay? Jesus didn't act like them. He was different, okay? He was kind to people. He didn't make all kinds of false promises. But the religious leaders, their hearts were very hard towards the people. Remember, they're like, ah, they're the people of the land, garbage. They just wanted their money. And here's the thing, if someone's heart is hard towards people, that is indicative of a heart hard towards God. I have heard more pastors say, this is my own crowd, say, I love God, can't stand people. And I always tell them, time for a new line of work. Seriously, seriously. Because you gotta love people. You gotta. I'm gonna be honest with you. There's not one person that goes to this church that I don't love. Sometimes I want to strangle you, but other than that, no, it's not true. It's not true. A lot of the people around here, they're like, does anything bother you? And I'm like, yes, a lot bothers me. But what bothers me is what's really important. And a lot of things, it breaks my heart. You know? They're probably watching online. You know I love you guys. I was in the hospital yesterday. Pam and I were in the hospital with two people. And to see them in that much pain, my heart was just breaking into pieces. On the outside, I probably look fine. But they didn't love people. Right? It's really sad. And we know that Jesus came to save people. And people's fleshly judgments towards us will separate us from God. How important we remember that. So, verse 17, 18, Jesus says, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men or two witnesses is true. Then he says, I am. That's different than the I am, the ego, and me. One who bears witnesses of myself and the Father who sent me bears witnesses of me or testifies of myself, some versions say. So Jesus offers himself and his fathers as witnesses to substantiate his claim, but he uses an interesting term, your law. Now, Jesus shared the law with them, but maybe he's talking about they corrupted the traditions. And people can really corrupt traditions, can't they? And to substantiate his claim, he calls it your law. But maybe he says, you want two witnesses? I'll give you two witnesses. I'll do better. I'll give you two divine persons. I'll give you the Father and I'll give you the Son. It could be Jesus is saying, I'm the fulfillment and promise of your law. but you are totally missing it. Now, again, you got to remember, he's talking to religious guys, the guys who lead the nation. They're not only the religious leaders, they're also the government. And they're getting just, I can't imagine how angry they're getting. And so Jesus, at the same time, indirectly says, you believe in me or not? And Jesus also says the same thing to all of us. Now, here's a hard one for you. You ready? Many people will say, I believe. Now, again, you're nice people. You say to people, that's great. Praise the Lord. But if you doubt someone, I say stuff like this, and I know I'm mean. I just say, is there enough evidence to convict you of being a follower of Jesus Christ? That's a question I ask myself. I don't think being Pastor Jim makes me anything special. I really don't. I know a lot of pastors think that they're special and they walk on the water. I don't know. Every time I walk on the water, I sink. Verse 19 and 20, then they said to him, where is your father? Jesus answered, remember, he's talking to the religious leaders. You got to watch these kinds of things. Listen to this. You know neither me nor my father. If you had known me, you would have known my father also. Ah, ooh, ouch. Then in verse 20, it seems kind of odd what he adds. These words Jesus spoke, this is John talking now. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury. That's where they had the candle lighting ceremony. That's where the people donated their money. That's also where the women were allowed to listen, okay? As he taught in the temple, and no one laid a hand on him or no one seized him for his hour, the cross had not yet come, the authority of God. The religious leaders asked Jesus, where is your father? What does that tell us? They are 100% clueless and of the flesh. They have no idea what's going on. They're not of the spirit. They could be mocking Jesus, claiming he has a special relationship with God. But instead of Jesus just taking it, Jesus basically comes back with, you don't know God at all. You don't know God at all. Could you imagine that? You're 50 years old. You've been studying to be a religious leader since you're five. And Jesus goes, you don't know God. You don't know him at all. That will connect us to what follows in the Gospel of John. Now, some of you may want to write this down. Okay? If you know God, you know Jesus. And if you know Jesus, you know God. We got that? If you know God, you know Jesus. And if you know Jesus, you know God. Now, why would the Apostle John say in the treasury, again, it's where the candle celebrations were, it's where the offering boxes were, women were allowed in. But I think bigger than all that, Jesus is saying, you guys think that the ceremony is over, but the ceremony and the celebration is just beginning because I am here. Once again, we see that term. We've seen it before, for his hour had not yet come. God the Father will determine when Jesus leaves this world. Why? Because God the Father was totally involved in the mission, okay, of his son Jesus, the one and only Son of the world. Now, a couple things and we're done. The claims of Jesus Christ demand a decision. And whether you even make a conscious decision or not, you are making one. Okay? Either we have put our trust in Jesus Christ or we reject and we don't believe. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. Now, sometimes people say to me, Pastor Jim, you make us feel uncomfortable. Praise the Lord. Okay? We need to feel uncomfortable sometimes. The religious leaders made the massively huge mistake of seeing themselves, okay, as the judge of Jesus instead of seeing themselves as guilty sinners. That's what they needed to do. And yet, maybe today, and I know this is not easy for some of us to hear, maybe today you are a follower of Jesus and you have seen that you have let some darkness into your life. You're a follower of Jesus, or maybe you started following Jesus and there's some darkness that you just can't seem to get out of, right? And maybe you need help to get out of that. And that's what we're supposed to do with each other, help each other. Maybe you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus. And you're starting to see in yourself, I am in spiritual darkness. I'm not there yet. But there's something like, you can almost feel like it's pulling you in. It's just pulling you in. Jesus is saying, come to me. And you're like, you're just pulling me towards you, Jesus. Now, we have much more to cover at this encounter with the religious leaders and Jesus. It all started by Jesus saying, we'll use the second half of chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall never walk in darkness, but have the light of this life. I want you to think about this for a second. When we talk about Jesus giving his life for us on the cross, it's a beautiful thing, and we should all think that. I find the daily practice of thinking of Jesus on the cross dying just for my sins. Forget about everybody else's, okay? Just think, if the whole world was perfect, he'd still have to come for you, okay? But by doing that. But there's another side of the coin that I don't think about as much as I should, and I want to try to do that, is to think that Jesus Christ gave up heaven for all of us. I mean, in heaven, the angels worshiped him. Everybody worshiped him. It was a wonderful thing. And then he comes down to this dump. And the people treated him like garbage. They killed him. Why did he do that? Because that's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves you. That he gave up the glory of heaven for you. And he even come down and say, crown me king. Came down and said, I'd be willing to die on the cross for you, in your place for your sins. And all we need to do to get the forgiveness of sins and eternal life and make it into the next life is to put our trust in Jesus Christ and follow him. On the cross, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, took on the sin of the world. And when we put our faith and trust in him, we move out of the darkness and into the light. Oddly enough, you have to be first charged as guilty. You have to plead guilty. You know, on TV, they always plead not guilty. You have to plead guilty, accept it, and receive the grace of God and be declared a child of God. So let's just be clear before we end, okay? Jesus said, I am God. I am God. Number two, he said, I am the light of the world. This dark, dark world, I am the light. And to come out of the darkness and into the light, put your trust in me, follow me, and experience the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ and receive the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. May today be your day.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney, and that's all the time we have for today. Our desire here at Changed by Love is to simply bring you the life-changing message of Jesus Christ by teaching you the Bible in a simple, easy-to-follow way. If you missed part of today's message or want to hear it again, go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. This program is possible because of the support of you, our listeners. Your support helps us to produce radio shows and purchase radio time on radio stations across the country. Pastor Jim often says that it was radio that helped him in many ways when he was a truck driver and an office worker before he became a pastor. Our team here at Changed by Love is always encouraged to hear how our ministry is helping you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can email us at changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. And when you write to us, please let us know what station and time you hear us. We would also like to thank all of you who pray for our ministry. We realize that without your prayers, our work would lack power. Pastor Jim is so grateful to the people who write to us and pray at the conclusion of each show. Without your prayers and support, we can't do what we do. Our hope and desire is that you will join us again next time on this radio station as we continue teaching the Word of the Lord here in the Gospel of John, one verse at a time. Those of us who are bringing you the Changed by Love program pray God's best to each and every one of you today and every day.